Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dynamite! Hey, everybody. A little bit of a different intro there, but Paul Fontaine alongside Jeff Hawkins here.
Pay no attention to that countdown behind the curtain.
No, that was something else. You didn't see that. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins, Dynamite Show here on Fight Game Media YouTube channel. And if you're listening on Thursday morning on the Fight Game Media free audio feed, I want to thank you all for joining us. And Jeff, we had a great lineup for Dynamite tonight that when we finished our show last week and when Dynamite went off the air, which is the show that the majority of people watch, there, I don't believe there's anything announced for this show other than Excalibur very quickly said with about 10 seconds left in the show that Bryan Danielson was going to be on the show next week in Everett. That was it. That was all he said. No matches, no nothing. And then by the time Collision and Rampage were over on Saturday, we had pretty much a full card. So they announced, like, they built a bunch of stuff, and they had a full card here, and it looked really good on paper. But you made the comment when we were just talking off air that they had a good card, but they didn't build to it. And I would say they did build to it, but the problem is nobody saw it.
The problem is they need to, if I was going to make a comparison to other wrestling or wrestling of yore, if you wanted to do this, it would be like if Worldwide Wrestling and Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling existed in the same plane. I mean, they existed in the same plane. They were two different syndicated shows, but they never booked for each other because
right.
Different shows would be on different channels and different times and in different markets and stuff. The problem with AEW is they need to build Dynamite for the next week's Dynamite.
Yes.
As opposed to building Dynamite for Collision and Collision for Dynamite.
Like, there's no problem setting up matches on Dynamite for Collision, but you still have to, your main focus should be building for the next week and
yes.
building for the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Yeah, and on Rampage and Collision, you could build stuff for the following week. But I wouldn't use Dynamite or Collision to build stuff for Rampage right now because nobody watches those shows.
It's possibly the most infuriating aspect of AEW for me is that Tony thinks we watch all three programs.
You brought up Mid-Atlantic and all that. I'll go like right now. This would be like if WWE was using NXT to build up matches on Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
But what's actually happening is Raw. I mean, everyone jokes about the fact that, yeah, you know, like Cody's or a SmackDown guy, he could show up on Raw and blah, blah, blah. But there is a brand split. And they do have angles and storylines and wrestlers that are exclusive to shows. So when you watch Raw, when Raw's over, you know what's on next week on Raw.
Yes,
when NXT's over, you know what's on next week's NXT. And same thing with SmackDown. There's no reason they couldn't do that here. And they used to do it. I don't know why they don't do it anymore.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you remember when WWE used to not have a split
yes.
roster stuff, it would drive you nuts because it would just be like, okay, they're building this stuff for SmackDown and nobody cared about the SmackDown stuff.
Right. Or Heat.
Yeah. And that, but they'd still
point, yeah.
book for the next Raw. It wouldn't
yeah.
be. Yeah.
But then by the time SmackDown would come, Vince would have changed his mind. And
yes.
then the
and
match
then none
they
of it would have made sense.
No,
and then people stopped watching.
Or the week, you know, the match they set up on Raw for next
yeah.
week's Raw, didn't even happen because they changed. Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect either, but I feel like they've lost their way a little bit.
I actually do think they should just split the roster hard and just do it that way.
Yeah, but the problem there is, I mean, what people that are against that will tell you is, well, then, you know, you're basically just being banished to a show nobody watches. But they gotta do something.
Well, that would also be true of Rampage and Ring of Honor.
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, I mean, where, you know, show ended half an hour ago, there's not a thing booked for next week.
No.
Like,
On
your go home. So the draw for next week, I mean, and I will be fair, this is the one week where you'd say, okay, the draw is the go home show. You know, you're going to get something on the go home show to build to the pay per view. Like, any wrestling fan knows that. So this is maybe the one week you didn't necessarily need to build anything, but. And they didn't really build anything for Collision or Rampage either. They announced a couple things, but if you weren't reading the graphics on the screen while the match was going on, you didn't notice it because Excalibur never said it. Did you catch what the matches were?
No.
Yeah. I mean, they did announce four matches for Saturday, but they put them on graphics on the screen and they didn't allude to them because they were talking about something else. So, yeah, we got Will Ospreay and Shane Taylor, Deonna and Robin Renegade. God, I can't even remember the other two. We'll get to them when we do the show recap. But there's nothing you need to see.
No, it's just wrestling.
It's wrestling. And
that's
pretty good, but.
Well, okay, fine. The matches will be technically sound and good. Maybe.
Probably.
But who cares?
Well, yeah, exactly. Just like tonight's main event.
Well, no, actually, the main event for me was my favorite match on this show.
Oh, it was great. Don't get me wrong, but are people sticking around to see it?
Yeah, because, the thing about the main event is it ties directly into the main event of Double or Nothing.
True.
It at least made some logical sense there. And you knew that there was going to be an angle afterwards. The other matches on this show made no sense in some ways, other than maybe Cage and Strickland. Although there's a lot about that match that they're telling us on commentary that doesn't exist in real life. Let's put it that
the
way.
Opener. They tried to have it make sense, but yeah, no, I'm not sure that it did.
No, it did not, because it's like we have a character we haven't seen in 3 years on this show, and they never really gave a good excuse as to why he was on there.
You know what they said, and I mean, I guess I can say it now. What they said was,
remember,
he showed up 5 years ago, to wrestle John Moxley, and he's here now. And he's not a roster member, but if things go well, he might be in the future.
Yeah.
So basically what they're telling you is he's not good enough to be an AEW.
Well, it's just like, they could have done a lot more explaining as to who Jeff Cobb was. Let's put it that way.
But, yeah. They assume we all know.
Yeah. And that's
compared to the last month. This was a great show compared to the last month.
Okay. Compared to the last month.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say
I have an overall point of view of this show that I'll get to after we talk about the news, and then I'll start with it.
When this show started, though, I will say like that it felt like they were going at a breakneck pace, and then it just ground to a halt when Malakai Black came out, and then they went back to your regular scheduled program.
Okay,
but
you're allowed to have that. You're allowed to have that point of view. I did not. I had a point of view where they were just doing a lot of stuff.
Okay. But we did want to talk about something else. WBD had their upfronts today, and it appears that, I don't know if it's official yet, but it's pretty much being reported and everything, that WBD, TNT, TBS have lost the rights to the NBA.
Yes.
Now, I think they have one more season on that contract, if I'm not mistaken. But what this means for AEW is a question. And I've seen both sides of it, you know, like, oh, you know, if WBD isn't spending money on the NBA, they got all this money that they can pay for AEW. The flip side of that is if they don't have the NBA, nobody's watching the station. They're not getting carriage fees. And they may just completely cut back on original program. And I'm not sure which side of that fence I fall on, but I know you have some thoughts.
I fall on the side that they're going to eliminate. Look, David Zaslav is now infamous for cutting costs. And that was what he was brought in to do when Discovery took over WBD. I think, and I my opinion is this. I think he's going to eventually rebrand TNT and TBS to something like they used to be. Like they've done a few different types of these rebrands, even with the NBA and stuff. Like TNT was drama and TBS was comedy.
Yep.
Other, you know, we know movies, I believe was a TNT phrase at one time. And the thing is, the live programming on AEW that they broadcast, it's somewhat expensive, somewhat pricey to run live television. And they get I wouldn't say they get better ratings necessarily, but they get good ratings just running things like Star Wars movies and The Accountant. And I guess they have Harry Potter now on these channels and stuff,
and
like
sitcoms
that.
Sitcoms.
And, you know, the How I Met Your Mothers and whatnot over there. I could see WBD basically, for lack of a better term, lowballing AEW and maybe even offering them true TV as opposed to even being on TNT or TBS. Not that they don't appreciate the ratings, but it's one of those things where it's like, does the extra 150,000 that they get over, say, a rerun of a movie in the Warner Brothers catalog justify the costs?
Everyone always talks about where they place on the charts, and you know, and they do really well on the charts. You know, they're always like top five, yeah, usually top three. But what people don't talk about is, look at those charts and look at what else is on. Like, there's nothing on cable right now other than repeats and reality shows and
Vanderpump crap.
And yeah, Vanderpump crap. Like, it's not like if you go back 10 years and you look and you see like USA Network and TNT and TBS, they all had these original dramas and original series and everything. And now, like, there's nothing. So AEW, like, and actually the other thing to look at is, as good as AEW ratings are, they're not that high above the station average. And I think for TNT, they might be below it because the NBA obviously drives up the station average. But you put AEW on True TV, or, you know, even if they go off of WBD and some other network takes them, their ratings might
Not another network that will take this programming of the level of TNT and TBS.
Well, not, I mean, they might take it, but they're not going to pay as much as...
Well, no, they won't. But I mean, if you're looking at the comparable networks on cable, the ones that everybody knows, USA,
yeah,
FX,
ESPN,
and ESPN,
yeah,
and FX won't take it because Fox doesn't want pro wrestling in any form for the most part. FX is now a prestige network; they're not gonna.
Yeah,
USA is in bed with WWE.
Vice, I mean, they're way low down. No,
Vice is. Vice is like in the 300s,
right? But I mean, that's a brand that would take them. Oh, that's, yeah, but that'd True TV.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, USA. True TV, but I mean, no,
True TV gets great. I mean, Impractical Jokers kills it in the ring.
Honestly, I could see USA making a bid for it, and WWE would probably be just fine with that because it would get them off their back about not, you know, allowing competitors on the station or whatever, and they'd probably get killed. Like, let's say they put, you know, USA decides, hey, we'll take Dynamite, we'll put it on Wednesdays.
I mean, it just depends what they're going to, I mean, if yeah, they're going, I mean, look, they're going to have hockey. There are yeah, other sports they can pick up.
Yep.
And they could use that NBA money to pick it up, to make a run at something else.
Football.
I still think, you know, and or they'll just save up their cash for the next round of bids and go after somebody else's NBA contract.
Or they might, I've heard also they might create a new one. Maybe like a one game a week kind of thing, and keep it, you know, yeah, and so they can keep inside the NBA, which I mean,
TNT
really
used to run NFL games. If you remember, they used to have the Thursday night package,
and the NFL still has seven games on the NFL network. They could
and
actually,
trust me, the NFL is now willing to get in bed with anybody because they're on 20 different streaming services this next season. And it's driving me insane that I'm going to have to get Netflix to watch some NFL games.
Yeah. Debbie asked this question: if AEW got True TV, how do you guys feel that would impact the brand? I think we kind of talked about that. Like,
I think how would it affect the brand, or how would it affect our perception of the brand? Because
I think what you mean is like
that the ship be sinking.
Well, how many people would watch?
About two thirds, maybe half.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I don't really know what's on True, but it just feels to me like it's a lot lower than TNT and TBS.
It is, yeah. but on my tier of channels, it's right there because they group all the Turner channels together with for me. But yeah, no, it would feel it's kind of the same as, you know, like when SmackDown went from Fox to Fox Sports One.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, they lost. Well, but it was about 80%. So
yeah.
Since WWE is leaving Fox, do you think AEW? I'm sure AEW would love to go to Fox. I don't think Fox is interested in them at all.
It's so weird because like this time last year, we're talking about all the leverage they have, and now they have no leverage.
They should have signed the deal. I think they were probably playing hardball to get more money
for
the pay-per-views.
Was there a deal on the table to be had, or was that just a rumor?
Hard to say.
Okay.
My gut says that they were negotiating over the pay-per-view in the archives and Tony overvalued it. That's my gut.
I think Tony is overvalued a lot. I think Tony probably, I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, if the rumor that Zaslav and company really liked CM Punk
and then
that also helped devalue the company in management's eyes.
Yeah, that's a big one. But 5 hours of primetime cable television programming is not that hard to value. I mean, you can look at what WWE got for NXT. That's the value. So if you use that, you're looking at between 85 million to 100 million for the 5 hours
cable.
Of
that's
AEW.
Broadcast.
No. Well, yeah, that's true.
The CW
that's true.
Is a broadcast.
That's true.
Network.
But if you look at the ratings that they're getting, it's comparable. So
yeah.
So 85 to 100 million, and then it's what do you get for the pay-per-view? And if you keep pay-per-view and you're getting 85 to 100 million for your television, they'll be fine. But they may be on a lower profile network, which, you know, because if they, let's say they move to something like CW, you know, like, I don't know what else is like that, but, you know, let's say they don't negotiate. I don't think that's great for their brand either.
Those types of networks are a thing of the past, because that'd be like the UPN. Type of stuff that they used to do. They would basically be your UHF channels,
the
lower tier that then kind of congregate. But I could see WBD going, hey, you know what, you could be the star of the True TV network.
Yep. And we'll put you on Max.
Yeah, and we'll put you on Max.
Yeah, and Max, I mean,
along with the second season of Velma or something.
That might be the future, honestly. I mean, UFC is on ESPN Plus. And they're also on the main networks and the ESPN2, and you know, like they vary what TV stations are on. But everybody I know watches it on ESPN Plus. So like I think like as we get more into this and people get more used to streaming and everything like that, you know, like being on Max isn't necessarily a bad thing. And it might be valuable to WBD to have wrestling fans that are conditioned to go to Max every week.
I'll give you one more. And this would be out of left field if Tony decides to walk away. Amazon Prime.
Ooh, that's a good one. And they're getting more prestige.
I mean, their NFL package killed it this year.
I hate to break it, but we have a Super Chat. And if you people want to donate Super Chat, we get to your question
we'll
right
your
away.
Money.
Doesn't matter what we're talking about. We're going right to your question.
All
so
right.
You give us money, we'll answer your question.
Yes.
Read your comment. So Chad Regan has a question. Will Willow versus Monet main event Double or Nothing?
No.
Zero chance. But but I will say that for a lot of people going, I'll bet you this is their main event. I don't think they're going to main event, but Willow might be the most popular person in that building.
I was going to say they might open, but I don't think they're going to on that. I think the opener is going to be Ospreay and
I could see this going right before Swerve and Christian, and then Anarchy in the Arena main eventing would be my guess.
Yeah, the thing you don't want to do is put between Swerve and Anarchy in the Arena, because that would be a death spot.
No, but I will say, like, if they do go before Swerve and Christian, Swerve and Christian might have a hard time following them. I think they're going to have a great match.
The setup
and with a
of this
lot
card
of heat.
Is interesting because you also have that other women's title match, and that other women's title is more prestigious.
Theoretically, yeah. Okay, there's a good question. I mean, you know, we're going to piggyback off Chad. Which, in terms of the women's division, is the real main event? I think it's Willow and Mercedes.
It's Willow and Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Here, I'll ask you another variation of that. Will Mercedes? Let's assume she's going to win that title. Will Mercedes Moné main event an AEW pay per view as TBS champion?
No.
Okay. I don't know the answer.
She might be second from last, but she will never do an event that way.
I don't know the answer.
There's not an opponent on the roster unless Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Who this whole thing about her contract coming up is such a work.
Jamie Hayter and Mercedes.
Hayter and Mercedes can't main event anywhere.
Okay.
They couldn't do it in Wembley where it should be, and that and the logical maybe one is Hayter and Tony.
What a world title, no difference.
Title against title, maybe.
Maybe a year from now, if Mercedes really takes off and she's a superstar, and Jamie Hayter comes back and she's a superstar, and they hold off on that match and we do it at Wembley next year, possibly. I could see that.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in-store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
I could see in this expanded card of pay-per-views,
yeah.
I could see Britt Baker and Mercedes being a main event.
In like Boston or Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We talked about the promotion of the show and those were the two things we wanted to hit on before the show. So let's talk about this Dynamite.
In my chat with a couple friends of mine who do show busy type things.
Yeah.
Someone said something, and it's now stuck with me.
Okay.
And and I want to know your feeling on this, because I'm testing this out. It's I don't know how much small theater do you go to see, Paul, on the rig?
None.
Okay. Nope. But you have gone to see plays before, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever gone to see plays written by the actors who are actually in the play?
I don't think so.
Okay, because that's how AEW was compared to me tonight, and I'm thinking because in a negative way, it they're plays written by the actors who are in them. Everybody, you know, all these 50-50 matches are very equivalent to every actor's kind of a co-star. Every actor gets a nice monologue to let them shine. You know, it's kind of a and it becomes a mess because there are no real stars and co-stars. It's kind of everybody's equal and we got to give everybody a little bit of equal time type of a thing.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I'm still processing it, but it sounded good at the time. Let me see if I get an exact quote here. Everyone is lead character. All dialogue is just dueling monologues. Everyone has to have equal stage time. And it sucks.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it sucks. I like this show a lot more than I've liked a lot of the recent shows.
I liked the end a lot. I did. Yeah. It's just I was maybe I'm being a bit persnickety about the every other segment.
But you know what's funny? You know what's funny is when you know to the point of the ending when we didn't know anybody, like when we knew that we kind of knew the elite was going to be one side of Anarchy in the Arena, and then when we got the four people that were going to be in, we had long discussions in our Discord about why this team didn't make sense and blah blah blah, and I think we even said it last week. We had our
pillars
four
in there. We thought yeah, having the pillars and having two on each side possibly, or even you know whatever.
Just having Darby on the team makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and if they could, if MJF was ready and could come back, I would say him on the team would make sense. You know, in some ways it wouldn't, but Sammy, you know, would make a lot of sense. And Orange Cassidy. I mean,
Sammy being on the heel side would make a lot of sense too.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah, I've seen people suggest him in the elite, but we got our teams, as we'll find out later. Yes. But we started out, and honestly, the way we started, I was 100% convinced John Moxley was going to be the fourth member of the team. Like I had zero doubt. just based on a lot of things.
Okay.
You know,
after this match, I was convinced Claudio was going to be the fourth guy.
I thought Claudio was going to turn on them. Whatever that was, that pipe or whatever.
Yeah.
I seriously thought he was churning on
I
them.
Had an inkling of that too for a second.
Yeah. And might still be coming. I'm starring that one, Debbie. We'll come back to it later.
Go through that match.
Yeah. I didn't write down much. It was a good match. Cobb and Fletcher, Kyle Fletcher and Jeff Cobb. And if you've been paying any attention to AEW programming, you knew who was taking the fall here.
You had no idea who Jeff Cobb was.
Well, that too, but you also knew who was losing this fall.
Yes.
If you have an ROH title in this company, you're doomed. So John Moxley comes out and he gets attacked by Jeff Cobb and Kyle Fletcher before the bell. And I'm like, where's Danielson? Where's Danielson? And his music hits. And then I'm like, so he can't make a save till his music hits. But to be fair, as soon as the music started, he hauled ass and got out there. And they had a fun brawl. They went all over the place. They were in the ring. As you said, everybody got their time to shine. And eventually, Mox pinned Kyle Fletcher after a Death Rider. They had a countdown clock on the screen telling you when Swerve's match was coming, which they put up there a bunch of times in the first hour. I thought it was kind of funny because these matches have like 20 and 30 minute time limits. And how do they know how long the matches are going to go? But as it turned out, as soon as that 1 second turned down, Swerve was right there. So somebody was on the ball today. But yeah, it was a good match. They played the music for like Danielson's music when he made the save, like before the match. And they were brawling for like, I don't know, 3 minutes with the music playing. That was kind of cool. Like your New Jack thing and sneak preview for Anarchy in the Arena. Cause that's usually what happens, right? They do like, I'm always in the building, but it's like
that first one, they did Wild Thing for a number of times, as I recall.
And then what was it last time? No, it was, because there was one time when they just kept going over and over and over again. And then finally, I think it was the Bucks super kicked the band or something and they stopped playing.
That was another year.
Yeah. So hopefully we get that again. And it'll probably be Wild Thing again, I would think. That song kind of makes sense.
Moxley's not in it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Maybe it'll be Danielson's song. I don't know. FTR's music would be kind of cool.
It'll be Tarzan Boy.
Oh God! or that stupid Succession thing.
I don't know. I like everybody in this match. I'm watching it and going, I'm watching all this hard hitting offense, and it's doing nothing to anybody in this match.
This is true.
Strong style, no sell match, and it started to make me not like the match in some ways. But that's just personal preference. And also, just the absolute clunkiness where within the first 10 minutes of commentary, we still couldn't get out why Jeff Cobb was in this match in kayfabe in any way. And they were trying to struggle. Hey, if you remember, he was last on AEW television in 2020.
Well, and there's a reason right there. Kyle Fletcher and Jeff Cobb were teammates in United Empire.
Yes.
They never once mentioned it.
No, they should have started with that. Kyle Fletcher has borrowed Jeff Cobb from New Japan and United Empire, and this was made through Don Callis, who was on commentary.
And they kept talking about this ongoing feud with the Blackpool Combat Club and the Callis family. And I'm like, what?
Oh, and by the way, earmark that comment right there, Paul, because there was a lot of they're telling us stories that they're not telling us on TV tonight. And I was starting to get gaslit by a few of them.
Yeah, I think
especially during the Christian swerve and the swerve cage match, and they were telling stories, and I'm like, they did not tell that story at all. What are they talking about?
Yeah, it was very bizarre. But yeah. So Callis family attacked after the match, and Claudio made the save with a crowbar. And yeah, he was standing behind Moxley and Danielson holding that crowbar and looked ominous.
A bit.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't break up because I like that team. Like I said, they went right into a Swerve Strickland video package. And I got to say, the first 30 seconds of this package were so great. He looked like the biggest star in the world. He's on all these different talk shows and he's talking about AEW and how it's the where the best wrestle. But something about the way he said it, actually, I believed it. You know, which most of the time when they say it, I just roll my eyes. But
AEW sent some people out to do some PR this week, which was good.
Yeah,
Brian Cage was on a network, which.
Yeah. Danielson, okay, cool. I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really good. And then it just kind of morphed into, a recap of the feud with Christian. And they showed highlights from Collision of Swerve just mowing through the Mogul Embassy. Khan and we've seen the last of those Gates of Agony dudes. If you want to see those guys, you got to sign up for Honor Club because you're not going to be seeing them again unless they're jobbing to FTR on a Collision somewhere. It was a really good video package, I thought. And then they come back and Adam Copeland's music hits and like, I didn't know he was coming out. And that's why I was saying like the pace, it was just boom, 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 boom. Like,
did this first hour go commercial free or at least first half hour or something?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm trying to look. There was a commercial in that opener, I think.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, yeah. So Copeland comes out and immediately he was attacked by Buddy Matthews and Brody King. And Black comes out and he's got Copeland's title and he starts doing a promo and the fans start chanting, "Shut the fuck up." And he looks at them and he says, "You're going to really like this." And I thought that was kind of the way he delivered that was good. And he told Buddy Matthews to take his wedding ring. So he took Adam Copeland's wedding ring off and Black looks at it, puts it in his pocket. And then Kyle O'Reilly runs down to make the save. And that poor dude got beat the hell up and dumped out of the ring like garbage.
Enjoy.
that was something. And then they looked like they were setting Copeland up for a concerto in the corner, but then they just didn't do it and they left and he didn't answer Copeland's challenge, which if you didn't watch Collision, and they didn't really do a great job of telling you here, Copeland challenged him to a barbed wire steel cage match at the pay-per-view. And someone speculated that this is the way that Malakai can lose without getting pinned.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I didn't think they had Escape the Cage.
They probably will add it on the weekend.
Or during the match.
And during the match. No.
Yeah.
This is Malakai Black doing his community theater stuff where he's doing the lore and stuff. There's a lot of monologuing tonight. So,
yeah.
And this wasn't even the first. I mean, this wasn't even the last we see of Malakai and his monologuing. So.
No, he had another segment coming up where he would answer the challenge. They showed highlights from Saturday. The Resurgence show, NJPW. There are more AEW stars in that show than there was on Collision.
True.
And they had a Jack Perry promo, and Eddie Kingston got injured during the match, and I think it was a legit injury. It was something in the finish, and then
hit the table, I believe.
Yeah, and then they did an attack afterwards, and basically the Bucks and Perry are taking credit for putting Kingston out. And Jack Perry says, "You paid for getting into bed with fakes who pretend to represent what AEW is about." I'm going to say, like, Jack Perry is doing a better job of making sense of this main event than any of the eight guys in it. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, like I'm not saying he's the world's greatest promo, but he's
the best promo of these eight two right now.
Yeah, well, I really like he's Okada. Improved. He's improved. I really like Okada. Okay. That's another story. But the rest of them, they're almost like,
well, he's FTR found something in the character where he's actually confident and he doesn't feel like he has an emotional connection to the speech, which is a problem I had all night tonight with a lot of people who were saying a lot of words. But there was no real connection between the players with the words to the other person. You know what I'm saying?
Three, two, one.
Like the Willow Monet one. It's just like, this title means this, this, this. Oh. Okay, whatever, man.
I'm not going to ask you the question I was going to ask then.
Okay, go ahead.
I thought she had the best promo on the show.
Really?
But yeah. And I will also.
I think eventually got there, but it was.
We'll get to that one. But my thoughts on that segment might surprise you.
Oh.
So then they did. Right, they went right from there to an Elite promo, and Perry says, "Well, you know, one of your guys is out, so it's 4-on-3. But if you want, you can forfeit." And Nick says, "We took out Tony Khan. We took out Kenny Omega. We took out Eddie Kingston. We can take out more of you if you want." And then Okada says, and Dax, I'm going to destroy you. And then he does the Kenny Omega goodnight, goodbye thing. And he says, bitch. I love that. It was awesome. And then we get a Young Bucks Reebok Pumps promo right after they did like a massive heel promo. They're trying to sell us merchandise. I thought that was funny.
It's also funny because I think they're well known for buying really expensive Nikes.
Now they're selling Reeboks.
And now they're selling Reeboks.
Yeah, Reebok pumps. And they also mentioned...
Get paid.
They're going to be wearing them in the main event.
They lose because they're wearing Reeboks as opposed to Nike. But I don't
To go back to Chad's question, I'm almost positive they said they will be wearing them in the main event.
Yes.
So I think they told us that the main event is Anarchy in the Arena.
It's cross promotion and it's great, but it's also one of those. I would love it if you can't do that. You can't lose because of the Reeboks because I think that is actual cross promotion. So
it's got to be the shoes. We're going to hear that line at some point, right?
Yeah, because they used to be really big into designer Nikes and they'd be wearing them in the ring and that was to get heat.
Well, they've done storylines around them.
Yes.
Remember when they lost their shoes? Yeah.
Yeah, the thumbtack shoes.
Then we get an FTR promo. So we're just like hard sell on this main event for Double or Nothing, which is great. Refuse to acknowledge the Bucks as EVPs. You're just Matt and Nick to us. And then Cash said, we've got a fourth. And Dax said, name calling isn't nice. And Okada, I think you're with those four guys you're in with, you're their bitch. So I don't know about that. I think it's Jack Perry, but it's a good line anyways, kind of. See, this is when we're talking about the promos and the guys believing everything. Bucks are just comedy. Perry is serious. Okada, he's
Okada's
just happy.
Comedy.
And Okada's he's happy to have comedy. His money.
Yes.
FTR is not buying this any of this for a second. They're just, they're in the
Cash
match.
Cash Wheeler, by the way, getting those charges dropped. Never thought that would happen in Florida.
Yeah. Look at that. Huh. Well, Florida, man. And Danielson's promo was good. For I think he did one on Collision talking about it was actually a really good promo explaining why he's doing this match and even why he's teaming with Eddie and Claudio walked out on him.
I remember hearing about that and I thought that was and that's also why I thought Claudio may take Eddie's place just as a
thing. And it's too bad we actually saw what happened because Claudio could have taken credit for taking him out.
Eddie might make an appearance.
Yeah, I wouldn't
it's
be surprised.
It's no DQ.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. And then, continuing the Elite and thing, we got Young Bucks versus Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal in a title eliminator match. Now, they actually set this up, believe it or not. They had two or possibly three separate segments on Rampage and Collision to set this match up. They had the Bucks... going at Christopher Daniels backstage and they were upset with him about something. And then eventually Danielson cut a promo and he said he's got a partner. And the funny thing is he chose Matt Sydal as his partner, even though they also did a video package on the show announcing that Scorpio Sky was coming back. This would have been a perfect spot to bring him back.
Motivational Scorpio Sky.
I wasn't paying attention, to be honest. But I did see him. But yeah, so it's Daniels and Sydal. And I mean,
not just that. I just love that. Daniels is using the theme song. His theme song is from the band that Frankie Kazarian's in.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said on commentary.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. This match was fine. There were a lot of chants for Daniels. They were chanting Fallen Angel. There were some Defy chants. They announced during here that Collision and Rampage are back to back again this week. I think it's taped tomorrow, so they're not even live, and they're going to air on Saturday.
Right.
Perry accidentally called. Oh yeah, Jack Perry was on commentary, which was useless. He didn't say a damn thing.
Didn't say anything.
No. But he accidentally called Matthew Matt at one point, and then they gave him a hard time about it. And then Taz stuck up for Perry and said, "Well, you know, he's in tight with the Elite, so he can call them Matt if he wants." Which is weird because Taz is acting like a heel here, but he's supposed to be a babyface in this thing with Jericho and Hook.
He becomes a simp when the vice presidents are around, and then he reverts back.
Okay.
But he was unusually terrible tonight, all night.
Yeah, well, he's was off.
I mean, he comes out of a break and he's bitching about the job.
Well, I mean, the problem is we had Callis last week and he was actually really good. And it kind of like told you.
But we'll get to what Taz's biggest sin was in a moment.
Okay. But yeah, the Bucks won. They won with the TKO driver. Matt pinned Christopher Daniels. Then Matt did a promo, said he's mad at Christopher Daniels. You should know better as an executive. We're trying to clean up all the toxicity in the back. And fortunately, we're the bearer of bad news. CD, you're fired. But we got you a sweet severance package, 30 days pay. And we also went through the trouble of getting some security to give you a nice escort out of the building. And I want to thank you for 5 years of kick-ass work. And then he tells the fans, stick around to the end of the show. Let's go. AE dub. And the fans boo. And Perry's still on commentary. He toasts the Bucks with the Ric Flair energy drink. And then he pours it over Tony Schiavone's head. Schiavone just has that same look on his face that they had before they showed the CM Punk footage. And he says, son of a bitch. And then Excalibur asks, can we get a mop here? And Taz is like, a mop?
Taz laughed at him getting the energy drink poured on him.
Yeah. That
took everything out of the seriousness of it. And they actually started to then talk about that on commentary. And that really also undermined it. Again, the Jacksons are doing the same bit as Chris Jericho and on the same show, being the disingenuous baby faces. And it's bad. They should just be jerks and say, you're fired. Screw you. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your family. Get out now. Security, let them go. And instead, they're doing the, hey, let's have a great show, everybody. It's like, no, be the jerks, because it's like they haven't really done anything wrong except fire Chris Daniels. And they didn't really. I mean, it's not like Chris Daniels. Again, it's one of those things where it's like it wasn't evil enough what they did to Chris Daniels. They gave him a severance package on the way out.
You know? 30 days.
It's still, it's more than I've ever gotten for any job I'd probably be fired from.
Someone brought up the point in our Discord. I think it might have been John Muse. Can't Tony Khan just hire Chris back?
Yes.
Yeah, and he probably will. So,
a big pop.
Yeah, no doubt. He fired him. And I guess, you know, the thing is, it's like you cross the boss, you're going to get whacked. I mean, that's the point they're trying to make.
So. That's fine. Just don't be friendly about it.
Fair enough. Yeah. We go backstage with Renee, and she's with Tony Storm, Mariah May, and Luther. She points out that for your match tonight, Mariah May, Luther, and Saraya are all going to be banned from ringside. So she's facing Harley Cameron. She asked how you feel about being laid out. And she said, my ovaries must be heard. Your answer is in the bosom that Mariah clings to. And she like holds her close. She thanked Serena for knocking her out. And then she said, at Double or Nothing, you're going to be like all those miscreants in Las Vegas, flat on your back with an ass in your face, wondering where the hell your dignity went. And I had a flash forward to my weekend next weekend. That's what I'm in for.
Man, Paul at the $5 blackjack table was something, wasn't he?
If I'm at the $5 blackjack table, my weekend has gone horribly wrong. And
I'll see you at the $5
blackjack. Yeah. I start at the 25 and I either work my way up or down. We'll see how it's going.
I'll have a pair of headphones. I'll be at the bubble craps.
All right. I might be playing 1-2 No Limit at the MGM. Ooh. And then she closes off by saying, everything's coming up, tits, chin, and shoe. And then she hugged Mariah very lovingly to close out. So they're actually being subtle about it. There's a love triangle here, and Tony is jealous of Mina Shirakawa.
Subtle about it. Shut up.
For AEW?
Okay. You didn't say that. You said they're being subtle.
Oh, okay. Dean's going to be there with me too. And yeah, we're playing $25 hands. He's shown me he's got some good places for me to go. Come to Vegas, everybody, next week.
Yes.
All right. Malachi Black promo. He's got Adam Copeland's ring. He accepts the challenge, but he says, if I win, Adam Copeland, you're going to have to bend a knee to the House of Black. So I guess he's going to propose. I don't know.
God.
But what happens if he loses? Copeland just gets the ring back?
Probably.
Okay.
I think this means we're getting a Beth Phoenix cameo.
Possibly. I think Copeland's losing this belt.
Although, and goes on the trail to the dark side.
Maybe.
I mean, it's been said elsewhere, but it has to be said again. He quit the Judgment Day to not do spooky stuff.
That was the word. I don't know. I'm not sure if I believe that.
I believe it.
Okay.
Because he had already done a bunch of Brood cosplay for WrestleMania.
I think that's what he wanted. I think he left because they wouldn't do the hokey pokey stuff.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
You might be right on that one, too.
Yeah. So
now that I think about it.
Because as soon as he left, they changed.
Yes.
So, I don't know. But as soon as he left, that's when Vince left and then everything changed. So next we got Hook versus someone. I didn't get his name. I think maybe his name was the Lone Wolf, but I'm not positive.
No, his last name was Wolf, I think.
Okay.
I think it was like Sebastian Wolf or something like
that. Okay. I was doing the entrance skipping and I missed the intro and I didn't care enough to go back.
Enhancement talent, I believe.
Hook won very quickly with the red rum. And when the match started, they had the thing up on the screen and there was only 7 minutes left until Swerve's promo. So it's a good thing Hook got rid of this guy quick. Because if that match had gone 10 minutes, what are they doing? but
just put a big flashing sign that says it's fake.
There you go. We didn't just, Hook says, he grabs a mic and he says, what I really came out here for is because I wanted to call it Jericho. So Jericho comes out with Big Bill. Jericho talks about how much he loves being on Dynamite. And Hook said, I don't want to share the spotlight. I want to challenge you to an FTW match tonight. Jericho asks if people want to see it. They all cheer. He says, well, this isn't a fighting moment. It's a teaching moment. Hook, worlds don't revolve around you. Be less selfish like me. And the fans chant, please retire. And then he says, yeah, I should retire because when I retire, I'm going into every Hall of Fame in the world. He said, but right now we're here to entertain everyone, me and the big Redwood. And he says, Hook, when you lose a title, you got to work your way back up again. So on Saturday, you and a few others are going to have a qualification match. And if you win again, you'll have a chance to face me for the world championship. So he's calling his FTW belt the world title. He also, at some point in here, showed the nameplate on his belt, and he was very proud of that.
He put a sticker on the belt.
Yes, he did. And Hook says, you know what else sounds good? And he hits him with the mic, and I think he busted him open hard way. Because Jericho was bleeding from the head, and he looked like he was bleeding pretty bad.
He did.
Sebastian Wolf. Thank you, Debbie.
I said Sebastian Wolf, didn't I?
Oh, did you? Okay. Sorry, my bad. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome. That's not my point. Did somebody tell Hook, tonight is your night where we're going to work on your promos live in front of an audience?
I don't know.
Because by the time we got through the second one, I was very frustrated that somebody didn't come up and say, why are we not protecting this Hook character? Because the Hook character in its most potent form would have never stood there to listen to Jericho monologue the whole time, or probably wouldn't have paid attention to him. He would have punched him in the face.
Yeah.
And that's what was needed here.
And he waited until Jericho was done before hitting him.
And he goes,
yeah.
Wait my turn or whatever. It's
and then he ended up getting beat down. I didn't point that out. By Big Bill, and then he eventually ended up leaving and
doing
Jericho.
A comedy sketch with Shibata later. But it's one of those things where I'm just like, this is bad for the Hook character for me.
A little bit. And the other thing is, and I don't know if this is what you were getting at earlier, Taz is at ringside, and we're not even whatever happened with Jericho and Taz didn't happen. Taz should have been like upset.
They kind of said, "Oh, I hate that guy."
Yeah,
and that's it. There was no real emotional connection to it again.
Yeah, like that. And Jericho should have even like disingenuously apologized to him or something, or you know, like
the moment he said, "When you accidentally hit yourself in the face with a baseball bat," that's the moment where I'm not listening to any other words you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, and that he's used that line more than once. So as I mentioned earlier, the countdown, like they had their time here because as soon as they were done talking, that countdown clock went to zero and we cut to the back and it swerved. And he says, now this was interesting. He was in the back and I'm pretty sure the fans could hear his promo because like they could hear other ones because they were reacting to other ones. Like when Joe walked into a promo later on, they popped huge. But when we got Swerve here, they weren't really reacting much to him. They were chanting Who's House and stuff, but they weren't really reacting to what he said. He said, your boy brought home a world championship. Saturday, he ended the Mogul Embassy. He put down Toa Leona and Bishop Khan. And he says, Christian, yeah, you're right. I was put in a coffin, but at Double or Nothing, I'm going to put you in your grave. Tonight, Brian Cage, the final nail in the coffin of the Mogul Embassy. Everyone, welcome Brian Cage to whose house? Swerve's house. And then they did the thing that WWE does and follows him to the ring and all that. I was surprised that he didn't get a bigger reaction in Seattle or Everett. Unless, like I said, and I don't think it was the miking because Danielson got a huge reaction in the opener. So I don't know if they're just not as into Swerve as, you know, they should be, or I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe they were reacting and I didn't hear it, but what did you think?
Of that?
That in particular and his promo.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm kind of uncomfortable with the framing of they're doing promos a lot like WWE, where we're leading it to the sing-along catchphrase and then going out. But that's what got him over, so I'll go with it.
But they didn't really pop like for anything he said.
I'm not judging the crowd on this one.
Okay. Okay.
I don't.
So you
know.
Think it was him?
I really don't have an answer, so I can't.
Okay.
Tell
okay.
You
fair
why.
Enough. Even during the match, they weren't really reacting.
Because who could give a damn about Swerve Strickland versus Brian Cage? This is a PWG special in so many ways. This thing, and Brian Cage is taking most of this match.
But who
why?
Could care less about Danielson and Mox against Fletcher and Cobb? But they reacted to that one.
Danielson and Moxley are big stars.
There you go. Swerve's your world champion.
He's not a big star.
Should be.
Should be, isn't
okay.
Yet.
All right, fair enough. And that's, I think that's my point. So,
okay,
crowd,
you were just trying to lead me to it. Okay, got
I
it.
Guess crowd was, I feel, I guess, well, no, Paul. Maybe not. Maybe I didn't know what my point was till you said it. I think that's more accurate.
Okay, I'm just giving you a hard time. Let's go.
Fair
on.
Enough. Swerve and Brian Cage, crowd was chanting Defy quite a bit.
This crowd chanted, this is awesome, when Cage was beating the crap out of
him. We're going to get to that. I mean, I saw that you liked my tweet when I mentioned it.
Oh, I retweeted it because I was thinking the same thing.
So Swerve at one point kicks out of a power slam and there's no reaction. And here Tony Schiavone, quote unquote, reminds us that there's an overrun. I don't remember them saying it at any point before that, but he made a point of saying, oh, I want to remind everyone. So it's like, he assumes that all 750,000 people watching were on Twitter earlier today. When
that's exactly it, because Tony announced it on Twitter. Somebody announced it on Twitter that there'd be a quote significant overrun,
which was.
and my response was, well, there'll be an overrun, but let's see if it's significant.
Significant in terms of time.
Yeah, thank you for explaining the joke, Paul. Let's just move on.
Sorry. Tony Schiavone put over Swerve's strength. He tried to claim that Swerve was doing 615-pound deadlifts in the military. I'm not sure about that one. Swerve headbutted him at one point. It looked kind of nasty. He did a Swerve stomp off the apron onto a Cage. 450 splash and Cage kicked out. So yeah, this is when Cage hit him with two power bombs in a row, and then he's still beating on him as the crowd is chanting, "This is awesome." And I'm like, okay. Like, it's like, okay, we just saw like a kick out, so we know it's our cue to chant, "This is awesome." Even though our guy's losing. It shows me that they're not really paying attention to the match. They're just there to get themselves over. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Yeah. But actually, as soon as they finish chanting, "This is awesome." So if they had it just waited,
but it also is in service of your other point, which is we need to make sure that everybody knows that we think Swerve is awesome so that he's seen as a big star.
But they're not chanting "This is awesome" for Swerve. They're chanting it at the match.
Well, they probably tried to start getting it over when he was on top, and then it took a while.
Oh, it took a while. Yeah. Fair enough. But shortly after that, Swerve hit the house call and he got the win. So
yes, they told and commentary told two stories that weren't happening at all in this thing. That Swerve was working on the arm, which he wasn't throughout the whole match, and then also that this was a deeply personal matter between Swerve and Cage. Okay, hold on. They were work friends in terms of being in the Mogul Embassy, but when was there ever a tight bond between Mogul affiliates and the Embassy? For the most part, it was an uneasy, you know, merger. The offices of Tully Blanchard Enterprises.
Here's the story. Swerve was work friends with them, and they were in a stable together. And then Swerve started to get cheered, and then he went off and started doing his own thing, and he ignored his buddies. And then when he found himself up against a faction and he needed some backup, he called the guys he hadn't talked to in 2 months and said, "Hey, come give me a hand." And they said, "Fuck you," and attacked him.
Well, we'll get to another story that they said they were telling, but they didn't tell, I don't think, when we get to the Christian stuff. But let's get to the Christian stuff.
Well, Christian comes out. So after the match is over, Christian comes out and he's like face to face. He's on the ramp and him and Swerve is in the ring. He's all ready to fight. And then Nick Wayne comes from behind and low blows him. And then Killswitch comes down and they start beating him up. And then I guess Nick Wayne had a family portrait of Swerve.
Yes.
And he broke it over his head, cut him, and then cut him with the glass. So that's the same thing that Christian did to him. Back in Seattle, like 6 months ago.
No, that's the same thing that Swerve did to.
Or Swerve did to him. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Man, poetic. So Christian brought that up. He said, "You embarrassed my son in his own home, so tonight I'm forced to embarrass you." And he shows the picture, and it's Swerve and his daughter and a woman. And he says, "Do you think your daughter is proud? Do you think she's proud of her absentee father?" And he grabs a picture and he wipes it all over Swerve's face and pulls it back. And the picture's covered in blood. It was a great visual. And he said, "Tonight I took your blood, and in 2 weeks I'm going to take your world championship." Like, there's no chance that's happening, but it was a nice promo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, but still not really about Christian and Swerve. I mean, it was about the props for the most part.
Yeah.
But then Tony put this button on it, and I went, "What the hell are you talking about, Tony Schiavone?" He goes, "Well, you know, when this feud began, Christian promised to take something from Swerve every week."
He did.
Did he promise to take?
He
something
absolutely
from Swerve
every did. Week? He took his hair.
Well, no. But did he say that? Did he say?
Yes, he did.
Did
he said every week I'm going to take something else from you until we get?
Because I was all ready to be angry about.
Oh no!
I never heard about any.
No, he absolutely said it. Because he said, I'm going to take because something from you every week. Because he
said
he took the
Mogul embassy. I said, since when?
Well, he did on Collision.
Okay, fine, Dynamite. But they're not.
But he took the hair. I guess he took the Mogul embassy, took his family.
All right.
And then on Sunday, he's going to take the belt. So that's a consistent story. Okay. You might have missed it.
On me then, because I was mad about that.
But I will be honest with you. I didn't even hear Tony say that because I'm starting to tune those dudes out. You know, like,
well, I also just love, he's now wiped out the entire Mogul embassy. I went, in less than a week, he's done the equivalent of a 3-month feud.
They could have had matches, which brings me,
Nana.
Well, yeah.
I think Nana might be turning.
It's possible.
Because I think he's going to show up during this match.
It's possible, yeah.
Because it's one of those weird things where it's like, they sometimes they'll over talk about certain points, and sometimes they won't bring anything up. And they never brought up Nana, did they?
Well, and the thing is, Nana was the first guy with the Mogul Embassy, like with Christian Cage and Darby. Like, he's the one that took them from Tully, right?
Yeah, but still, it's going to be one of those things where it's like everybody, he's going to come out for his triumphant return and possibly screw him. I don't know. We're already going to have a couple of heel turns on this show already. I don't think we need a third.
True. Yeah, because I think Stokely's turning on Willow.
Yeah, somebody's turning on Willow in terms of Statlander and the Callis family and whatever. And then also you're probably getting Edge going to the dark side in some way.
That one may not happen on Sunday, but I think it's going to start. I think that one will play out.
Well, it's already started with him looking at his hands and stuff. So.
True. Next, we get that segment you alluded to earlier, Renee with Hook and Shibata. Hook says, the odds don't mean anything to me. Talking about this match on Saturday, which when they went over the cards, they never mentioned it, but I guess we're getting some sort of match on Saturday. And then Shibata says, even me? And so I guess he's going to be in the match. And then Hook said, well, Hook versus Shibata to get their hands on Jericho, that's fine with me. And then off screen, you hear a laugh. And then Samoa Joe shows up. And the crowd popped for Joe when he showed up on screen was something else. Like, this dude's a big star. And he looks at Hook and he says, who are you? I thought you were something special, but you fall into the same trap over and over. Now Jericho has you at your old man's neck. He said, if you stop playing with yourselves, you might actually be dangerous. And then he leaves and Hook looks pissed off. And then Shibata types something into his thing and he says, he's too large to be wearing a floral pattern.
I hated this. It was funny. I laughed, and then I realized how much it undercut Joe being a badass and trying to whip Hook into shape.
Why was Joe wearing a floral pattern?
Who cares? Because the man's Samoan. He can wear what he wants.
Okay. Oh, you just reminded me he is Samoan. Why isn't he in the new bloodline?
Quiet, you. No, I'm just... It's one of those things where it's like, I like comedy and my main eventers separated.
Fair enough.
And this is what drove me. Joe is the former champion of this company.
Joe is underutilized right now.
Yes, he is. He's the best champion they have. I mean, it's just, look, there's two other acts I want to see on this Double or Nothing that I'm probably not going to get. I want to see Joe and I want to see Jeff Jarrett and Sutton. Damn it.
Well, they'll probably add a battle royal on Thursday afternoon and, Joe will be in it, and Sotnam and Jeff.
I can't be there Thursday. I'm talking the
pay-per-view. No. They're gonna announce it on Thursday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. No, it'll be on Sunday.
Paying for this show.
I think Joe will be on the show. If he's not on the show, what's he doing on TV?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the show.
Might be in this match to take on Jericho.
Oh, that'd be cool. Tony Storm and Harley Cameron. This was fine. Deeb wandered out in the middle of the match with her flag. She seemed like she was a heel. Cameron took over at that point. The fans were chanting Harley, even though I thought she was a heel. But they were chanting for her. And then Tony did a backstabber, a DDT, a fisherman suplex. And I thought, okay, there's the finish, but nope. Harley Cameron kicked out.
Of course.
And they announced Will Ospreay and Shane Taylor on Collision during this match. And I'm like, why? And then, whatever, I get to see Will Ospreay wrestle. And then Tony Storm hits Storm Zero for the win. Actually, when they announced that match, it hit me. Okay, he wrestled Lee Moriarty. Now he's wrestling Shane Taylor. Would it not have made more sense for him to wrestle Matt Taven and Michael Bennett leading into a match with Roddy Strong?
Yes.
Like, why is he wrestling the guys?
We can't beat those guys. They're our Ring of Honor tag champs.
Oh, but we can beat Kyle Fletcher every week and twice
every
on Sunday.
Week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
Again, we just followed our men's world title holder having issues with Brian Cage to our women's title holder having problems with Harley Cameron and finishing her off.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Wonder why the guys that aren't stars, and it's because they're not treated as stars on the TV. And that's look, I get it. People want good wrestling or whatever. I like Harley Cameron. I think this wardrobe this week was an upgrade because it looks more athletic for her.
Yep.
And she's not afraid her boobs are going to pop out. And I like Harley Cameron overall. She should be kicking out of.
No, those three moves in a row should have been the finish.
Yeah, no, should have been the finish. 1, 2, 3. We don't need to take this any longer because nobody thinks she's winning. And there's no Soraya out there to interfere on her behalf. So there's no heat to it either. Just beat her and let's move on. But yes, I agree. Serena Deeb looked like a heel after being a babyface last week. Let's make up our mind here, guys. We got 2 weeks until the pay-per-view.
Well, that could have been a pivot based on the reaction she got.
No, it's not a pivot. It's just they never built her as a babyface, so everybody thinks she's a heel.
Fair enough. On the plus, the match was decent, and I thought, like, Toni Storm, in terms of, like, actual wrestling, like, she was doing on almost none of the Gaga. It was just wrestling.
That opening sequence quite a lot, and I think Harley is doing. I think she's more than just a good-looking face. She does a lot of the little things in the ring.
Yeah,
I mean, she was working it like an empty arena match.
Everybody last week gave credit to Mariah May for pulling a great match out of Harley Cameron or a good match out of Harley Cameron.
She's got chops, kids.
Yes, I mean, that's what I was going to say.
She does a lot of music between the notes stuff.
You
know, that, I mean, like, because she was, like, you know, reacting to every little thing Tony was doing to her in that ring in that first sequence.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put her over as the next best thing or anything like that, but I think she's solid, man.
Perfectly cromulent.
Cromulent, thank you. Perfectly cromulent, the Hawkins term.
Next we got Arcady Aura, which is weird because, like, she hasn't done anything else in this show, and then they were in front of that weird, like backstage thing that... We usually only see on Collision and Rampage. I have a feeling this segment was actually taped, like, at some other point.
It was.
Okay. Because it was Roderick Strong, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, Wardlow, and Will Ospreay.
I'm guessing it was taped Saturday when Ospreay was in town.
Right. But Ospreay's actually going to be there tomorrow. So it might be that it was Roddy and his crew that isn't going to be there this week. But because Will's there, I don't know if he's there tonight, but he will be there tomorrow.
And 4 weeks in, we decided to really hype up that she's our latest addition to our broadcast team.
Yes. Well, I mean, they've mentioned it, but
but they really put this over strong tonight.
I think this is the first time Excalibur's ever actually said her name.
Possibly. Has she been mostly Collision?
Collision, Rampage, and ROH, yeah.
Okay, so maybe this is her first appearance on Dynamite, too.
Yeah, it might be. Well, no, she was on Dynamite a few times last week, but they never said her name.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Will says he's got a sour taste in his mouth. He calls them Bellins, I think is the naming word. It was some English word. And they seemed as confused as I was. And he says, you're too comfortable with that championship, but I know why. He says, because if I attack you, these guys are going to be all over me. He said, maybe you're comfortable because I've retired the Tiger Driver 91. You're playing mind games, but you're playing them piss poor. Says, I do not respect you. Your talent is why you're a champ. You never respected me. You always looked down on me. And so I've got no respect for you, bruv. And Roddy says, you're right. I never had respect for you. You're talented, but you're such an idiot out of the ring. Now that you got a missus and a child, you're still acting like a little child. You're always going to be a child. You don't deserve this title. Understand this. I overcame something traumatic, a neck injury that almost took me out. I didn't quit. I worked for everything. I don't care what everyone else thinks you are. You're a fraud, a coward, and a child. And Will says, a double or nothing, you're going to learn a lesson in humility. All those years you buried me to the ROH guys. I'm the best wrestler in the world. Now Sunday is my time to show everybody why I'm the best. I'm Will Ospreay and I'm on another level. I thought this was maybe the best thing on the show. I really, really like this a lot. But you, your face tells me different.
Can I make a counterpoint?
Sure.
I thought this promo was terrible.
Okay.
And I'll
That's
tell you
a
why.
Pretty Number big one, counterpoint.
On both sides. Okay, on the Will side, it's how many times can I get the word bruv in there?
I think you have to do at least 12.
Well, but I mean, that was the goal of it.
Yeah.
And also, it's so weird that I don't respect you line. I just, it's one of those things that if we could get this out of this realm of wrestling and just keep it in our Ring of Honor, I'd be fine with it. Because Roddy should just be that's fine, don't respect me, I'm going to beat you. But then Roddy becomes the I worked hard to get over my neck injury angle for the heel.
Which is, yeah, and it was a bogus injury. He didn't actually have a neck injury.
Well, somebody needs to call that out there in the scene, because I'm trying to remember the neck injury, and I thought it was real.
No. No, remember he used to wear the neck brace and he'd take it off, go wrestle a match, come back, put it on.
I barely remember that.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to call that out in the scene at that time then.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, what is he doing? Okay, now it makes sense, because I was mad. I'm like,
No, he was being a
why
heel.
Is he the sympathetic where it's just like doing all, okay, fine. I get that. It's just, you know,
but Will should have called that out. Yeah.
He should have called that out, and Will should have just said, you know what, I'd attack you, but your boys will beat me up.
He believed him. he wasn't in AEW at the time. He was probably just watching.
It was okay. I thought Roddy started to come on a little strong there with the anger, because Roddy's a great dick heel.
Yeah.
But this felt a little monologue-y in terms of they weren't really connecting to each other. They're saying words to each other.
Our friend Dean brought up a good point. This might have been better if you did it live in front of the crowd, because they would have reacted to the crowd and the pacing would have been different. So they would have actually possibly come off like they were.
Or somebody on commentary would have said that, like Tony Schiavone would have said that injury was a fake.
Yeah. What's he
I think you're
about?
Right on that. I think, because I forgot that was a fake neck injury.
Yeah. So that's the commentator's job to remind you of that.
Yes.
So we went from Will to Willow. Renee come out with a contract signing. She just calls out Mercedes and Willow, and Willow comes out. And I thought she cut a great promo talking about how much the title means to her. I'm not going to walk in and let you take the title away. And she signs the contract. So then Mercedes says, how you doing, Everett? Which is the cue for everyone to cheer. They booed. And your CEO is here. They booed that too. They didn't chant CEO.
Another disingenuous baby face on this show?
I think she's a heel.
I think she's a heel.
Right. Oh, she definitely knows she's a heel.
Okay, then. So she's being a disingenuous babyface by saying, what's up, Everett?
Okay.
For the hometown pop.
So she brings up 2015 in Brooklyn, and she says, I changed the industry while you were still in training. Fans booed that. She said, I've been breaking down doors, kicking down glass ceilings. That's what I did. You wouldn't even be here without me, Willow. I respect you. You're a great champion, but there's a difference between great and the greatest of all time. And the fans booed that as well. I thought, like, this Mercedes, this is the best she's been. Like, her as a heel, and she's like, she knows what she's doing. She's saying what she's saying to get the reaction that she got, which is the first time that's happened in AEW that I can remember.
I wish she had dropped the CEO persona to do it, though.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where this came off. I was trying to think who in WWE does these types of promos. And this came off like a
Sasha.
Well, yeah, Sasha. A little bit like a Triple H promo also, or in terms of everybody has to say they respect you.
Liv Morgan?
It was one of those weird things where it was just like, all right, we know your resume. But why do you hate Willow?
Oh, the Miz. The Miz.
It's a little Mizzy, but it was just one of those things where it's just like, you know what? When I broke my ankle in that match, I got pissed. And that's what you want to hear, as opposed to the, you know what? I struggled for a long time with that, and I didn't know if I'd ever wrestle again. I don't want to hear that from the heel. I want to hear that the heel hates this person.
Yeah.
And it never got there. And it's disappointing to me because she's the one to do. Nobody has had a bigger chip on their shoulder, I think, in women's wrestling than Sasha Banks / Mercedes Moné, with the possible exception of Alexa Bliss, because of the love that the horsewomen got.
Yeah. Oh, and, in real life, you mean? Yeah.
Yes. And I wanted some of that chip to come through in her actual character on this run in AEW. And it didn't. And it's, I know, but I'm judging it against a standard that doesn't exist. I get that. And that's a flaw of mine that I do, and that I book these people how I think they should be booked in my head. And when they don't live up to it, it doesn't work that way. But again, she's not connecting with Willow. She's saying words. And mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where it's like, if she had just taken a moment to say, I hate you for what you did to me in this match, even though it was her fault that she broke her ankle or whatever, much like the Roddy thing and being a fake neck injury that could have been brought up, I think it would have probably gone on a little better. But this felt like a WWE contract signing to me.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. But I thought it was good.
I didn't think it was bad.
You know who does have a chip on her shoulder, though, is Willow. Willow comes off like she's got a chip on her shoulder. And I almost feel like Willow's trying to prove to everyone, including the booker, that she should be the one keeping this title and not Mercedes, even though it's pretty clear Mercedes is going to win it.
I don't see my thing with Willow is, and I like her, it's just her presentation is, she plays four different characters in one segment.
Well, yeah, because
she's playing the child on her entrance, and, you know, oh, I can't really kick, and I'm kind of awkward, and ha ha ha, isn't this great? I'm smiling, and then she gets like dead serious for a moment, and then it's back to the smiley happy, and then she gets mean. It's like, okay.
Yeah, at the end, she said, "The last time we wrestled, I walked away a champion, and you didn't walk out at all," which was the punchline that got everyone going, ooh, and then Mercedes slapped her. And she tried to attack her with the belt, but Willow gave her a doctor bomb through the table. And that was the cue. There is zero chance she's winning this title match on Double or Nothing.
Well, it's funny because she could have done that. I mean, I get that they got the ooh line, but she shouldn't be doing ooh lines like that. She should say, I'm sorry you didn't walk out that time.
You know what's funny?
100%, you're not going to have any excuses or something like that.
You know what's funny is I was half paying attention because I was writing notes and I was in the Discord and stuff. And I heard the line about you didn't walk away or you didn't walk out. And I thought she was talking about walking out of WWE. So I had to go back and listen again. And I thought it was like one of those inside reference type deals. But
I will say this because it sounds like I'm harshly negative on this, and I'm not. I thought it was the best segment between those two that they've done yet.
Yeah. And I thought it was Mercedes' best segment she's done in AEW.
Yeah. I wish she'd kind of get over the, you know, the Jericho Young Bucks false modesty thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess it's new, but yeah, I didn't even put together that we got two other acts on the same show doing it. Well, it's also Big Bill and Okada. Well, no, Okada's not really doing it. Big Bill's definitely doing it.
No, Okada's flipping us off, which is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Speaking of Okada, he was in the main event against Dax Harwood, Continental title match. And I guess it's under Continental title rules. I'm wondering why the EVPs couldn't just interfere. They got these ironclad contracts. They can't be fired, right?
Well, that would be legitimate heat too, because they say everybody else gets fined and fired for doing it, but we
have
diplomatic immunity. Get down there and do it.
But they didn't, and they just had a match, and it was a good match. I didn't write down a ton.
I love this match.
It was great. It was an awesome match. It was well worked.
It was such an old school throwback too. I mean,
yeah, there was a few like
going to do.
There's a couple spots that I was like worried. Like Okada did like a draping DDT on the outside, and I thought like Dax, I guess he was just selling really well, but I was worried about him for a few minutes. And then there's another spot where he took like a naked bump into the corner with the back of his head, but he came right out of that and he was doing suplexes right afterwards. So that was.
Yeah. The only segment I didn't like for the most, and it wasn't because I didn't like it. It's because it overstayed its welcome, is they're doing all those reversals.
Yeah.
Pins, and then it's like, and then they kind of missed one in a way, and it threw it off, and they should have just ended it and gone on to something else, but instead they decided to do the three other false pins, and you're just kind of like, that wasn't really necessary.
They did announce the matches for Collision and Rampage here. Well, they didn't announce it, but they put up graphics. So it's Will Ospreay and Shane Taylor, Serena Deeb and Anna Jay. That's Collision. That's all they announced.
I want to see that match. I'm not going to lie.
That's all they announced, though.
Anna Jay's been on a heater lately. I'm here for it.
So that's your Collision lineup. 2 hours of Collision. You got two matches. And then for Rampage, Deonna Purrazzo.
We're going 60-minute Broadway with Anna Jay and Serena Deeb.
I'm here for it. Deonna Purrazzo and Robin Renegade on Rampage and Roosh in action. That's your card. That's it.
That's the...
Yeah, and then it's somewhere in there we're getting this, whatever the match Jericho was talking about.
My favorite joke is, well, we're doing anarchy in the arena. We need people to fight. Four Rooshes, please.
There you go. Yeah. So back to the match. They are promoting, like they even had a graphic up with like one of the people's faces blurred out. So they're promoting a mystery match as the fourth. And I even wrote in my notes, I think it's Mox. And then Dax hit a tombstone. Okada kicked out. Went for Rainmaker. Dax put on the sharpshooter. Okada made the ropes. I did wrote down, the match was great, but there was like no heat. Unfortunately,
everybody was ahead of it, and that's probably true. And they were waiting for the angle afterwards.
Yeah, like I think everyone knew there was an angle coming.
I actually thought it might be Daniel Garcia, but they made the right choice here because of where it was and everything.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okada tried to leave with his belt. Dax rolled him back into the ring, and then while the ref was getting the belt away from Okada, he hit. They said it was a low blow, but it didn't really look like a low blow.
Yeah, it did. He kicked him in the balls real quick as he was getting
caught. Oh, did he? Okay. Ropes. It looked like he kicked him in like the arm or something, but I guess it was just because he was like laid out. So yeah, it was hard to see. But yeah, he hit him low blow, and then he hit a Rainmaker and he got the pin. And immediately
the dumbest face during the pin.
Oh, Okada's awesome.
It's just this weird, dumb grin, and you're like, all right, whatever, man.
So immediately after the match is over, the Bucks and Perry come out. They're attacking Dax. Danielson ran out and made the save. Was someone else make a save too? Like there, it looked like there was another person out there that they had, but I did see Danielson, but I didn't like, was Cash out there?
Cash and Dax both came
out. Well, no, Dax was in the match.
Cash came out to save Dax.
Originally. Okay. So Cash was out there. Okay.
Yeah. And Danielson followed.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so because they only played, I don't even know if they played anyways.
They did not play the FTR music.
Okay, so yeah, so they come out, but they quickly laid out. And then Darby's music hits, Darby Allin, and he makes his big return. And
Big pop,
they're in his hometown. And the funny thing is that they said that I thought he was climbing Everest. But they did a freaking angle to write him out of Everest, did they not?
They probably just forgot, and they also forgot he was hit by a bus 2 weeks ago.
Well, that wasn't storyline.
I know, but they could have said, hey, he was hit by a bus 2 weeks ago.
But do you remember who put him out? Oh, yeah, it was Jay White, right?
It was Jay White and the Bang Bang Gang.
Yeah, okay.
Because remember, they had the skeleton by the pool, and then Juice Robinson walks by in the background, and nothing ever came of
it. But he was going to be out for months, and he's back now, so that's cool.
I'm guessing he's just going to be walking and brawling and doing weird stuff, and he's not really clear.
And he was wearing a pink like sweater, like it was kind of like a fur jacket almost. Like it's kind of weird. I've never seen him wearing that before, but yeah, it was cool, and it makes perfect sense. You know, he's AEW all the way. He's good friends with Tony Khan. He laid out the Bucks with his skateboard, and they officially announced it at some point here. They announced Tony Khan has just made this official. So I guess Tony's running the show again. Like, that whole thing they did 2 weeks ago at the show I was at, where like the Bucks were running the show, that's not happening anymore, I don't think.
The whole story next week has to be that the Bucks are going to override Tony Khan, adding Darby Allin to the match. And then they find a way to get him in there.
That's not going to happen.
I know, but that's the most logical story to tell.
I would love to see them take out somebody else and then have like one of the other people we mentioned be in the match, but I don't think that's going to happen either. I think this is the final.
You mean somebody on the babyface side?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't like the idea of Danielson and FTR teaming. And I really don't like the idea of Danielson sticking up for Kenny Omega, because Danielson in storyline hates Kenny Omega. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but he made a big long speech about how Omega is what's wrong with professional wrestling. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think he attacked him with a hammer or something. I'm almost positive.
Well, if you took out FTR, you could make it Mox and Claudio.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. And Darby teaming up with BCC. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
And then you get to the place where we thought it was going to be in the first place.
That's not bad, but I don't know. Yeah. And but I think we're going to get just the eight we have right now. They don't usually make changes the last week before the show.
No, and one of them, and either Cash or Dax can take the fall.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Although I think it's going to be Danielson for some reason.
That's not out of the realm of possibility. Or you could even have like Jack Perry pin somebody, because honestly, they do that a lot in these matches. Wheeler Yuta got a big pin in one of these at one point, because they'll do that and then they'll do a title match off of it at some point.
Hear me out. Eddie does the gasoline can spot again, even though he's not in this match. And then Claudio comes out to attack Eddie. But ends up hitting Danielson in some way.
That's a possibility. Yeah. Our buddy, Curry Head, has joined the chat. We will see him next week, and reminder to him and anybody else, about these, super chats. Super chat. We'll answer your question. We'll read.
Also a reminder, please hydrate, 'cause he's bringing moonshine.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for John's moonshine. So we'll go over the card next week. I imagine there'll be a match or two added by the end of next week's show, and then we'll do our little mini preview next week. But that was Dynamite. I thought a much better effort this week. They're very focused.
I was happy that it ended strong, because I was so kind of jaundiced on the rest of it.
You will often ask the question, you've done this a few times.
Have I?
Where you'll say, you know, what was the point of this show was very clear. I mean, there were two things they were building. I mean, there's a few others, but the main things were the this Anarchy in the Arena match. Like, yes. I'd say there's, what, seven segments dedicated to it on the show? And then the other one would be the Swerve and Christian World
Title. And those are the two things you should be building.
Yep, and that was good. Yeah. And then they had, you know, other segments devoted to other things. But
I would love for them to give Serena Deeb a little bit more going into this match, but I don't see it happening.
Nah, she's just a place setter. Unfortunately for her, I think the big match is Mariah, and actually the big match is probably a three-way at Forbidden Door is my guess. And then that'll spill off into with Mina, Harley, or Mina, Mariah,
and Tony.
And then that'll go to Mariah and Tony in a singles match, probably at Wembley would be my guess. But
maybe Hayter's back by then.
Well, I think Hayter returns at Wembley. That's my prediction. Okay. But yeah, I love this too. This has got to be Forbidden Door to catch Jim Moxley. I did see some people thinking this was going to happen at Double or Nothing. And I mean, I'd be cool with that too. But I don't think they've really built that.
I think it's way too quick to do it at Double or Nothing.
Actually, you know, I take something back I said earlier today when I was talking about BCC and Callis family. Mm-hmm. Moxley was going through the people in the Callis family.
Yes.
Yeah. Like he beat Hobbs. He put Hobbs out, I guess, in storyline. And now, you know, and I think he's probably going to be wrestling Kyle Fletcher on the pay-per-view. But maybe it's going to be Takeshita, because Takeshita did attack him after the match. So we'll see. And he's got a big match with Evil coming up soon, too. So, yeah, that's it, Jeff.
Cool.
Yeah. What do you got for us coming up?
This week, Chris Novembrino and myself will be doing Shake Them Ropes later this week. Probably talking a little bit of this Vince McMahon lawsuit, some more. Anything else that happens during the week, we'll talk about then. You can follow me at Crap Game 13. Bad jokes, arcane references, bitching about Roddy angles because they don't explain the neck injury to me, all that other stuff.
I forgot this earlier, so I'm going to bring it up now. Debbie, who has been in the chat, I hope she's still here. She said, I was so happy to see Darby, was shocked. I was too. Seemed like we literally got news. He got hit by the bus. So glad he seems healthy. And I totally agree with that, Debbie. And I think this is the same Debbie that just recently joined the Discord. So she's added a lot to the conversation there. And if any of you want to get in the Fikey Media Discord, just shoot Garrett Gonzalez an email, gg@fikeymedia.com, and you'll get an invite, and you can come join us for some lively discussion. And what's up with... Oh, on Dynamite. Okay, sorry. I thought he was talking about our show.
So did I, and then he explained. Yeah. But, you know, every week there's an issue with the audio being live for some reason. I don't
know. I didn't really notice anything this week, so maybe it's
also
fine in Canada.
It depends how you're listening to. If you're listening to it on surround sound, there's problems, especially through DirecTV.
The New Japan show had really bad audio problems, but not this one, for me anyways. And for me, I will be back. I didn't have a Joy of Wrestling this week, but I will be back next week. I do have a guest lined up, and I just have to confirm with him. But and then I've got my following week's guest already booked up too, so we got two shows in a row coming. And I will also be in Las Vegas next week with Jeff and Gigi and others. John will be there with some moonshine, and you can join us for all the fun and festivities. And I think Garrett and I are going to Collision as well, and so Adine will be there, so it'll be a great time. Come join us if you can. Until next week, when we'll be doing the Double or Nothing Go Home show, I've been Paul Fontaine, that's been Jeff Hawkins, and this has been the Dynamite Show. Later.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.